You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 42. Now, usually we record these podcasts from the city, usually Brisbane, Australia. And today we're actually recording from rural Queensland. We're out on a property for a week or so, enjoying some very unusual green, lush surroundings. Many of you who don't live in Australia will know that we spend a lot of time with brown grass and brown trees and droughts. But at the moment, it's been raining for weeks on end, and it is incredibly beautiful and green, and we're surrounded by beautiful birds and 50 acres of peace and quiet at the moment. Personally, I'm a city girl, and after my holiday, I'll be glad to go home. But we're having a lovely break here and also recording podcasts while we're here. So our usual challenge of recording in the city when we're trying to record, you know, before garbage men come round with big trucks and trying to record between planes going overhead and other loud noises, our challenge today has been not the noise, but the satellite. So this is the first time we've recorded because our guest, who you're going to hear shortly, is actually from a completely different part of the world and different time zone. And so our challenge has been recording the podcast by satellite. And what this means for you as the listener is that there'll be some pauses. So quite often you'll hear me say something, and there'll be, you know, maybe a second or two where it seems like we've gone off the air, but that's the satellite. And then, of course, Bonnie, who's our guest today, responds. So you know the deal. You know how it goes with these satellites. So don't say, oh, you know, the podcast hasn't worked, or there's something wrong with my microphone or my headphones or whatever you've got your end. Just bear with it. Go with the pauses and think of rural Queensland. I have actually just already done the recording, and so here we go. Here's Bonnie. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. And you have a dream. Is it a recent dream, or is it a special dream? What do you have for us today?
Yes, I have a dream for you today. I dreamed it last night. It has a reoccurring theme in it, though, which always baffles me a bit. And shall I go on with the whole dream?
Oh, yes, please, because, you know, there's two really powerful things already. You know, one is it's last night's dream, which means it relates to the last couple of days, and that's really, really good. It's a hot topic. And the other one, of course, is any recurring dream theme reflects a recurring waking life issue. So we're going to get two things, hopefully, in one dream today. So on you go. Tell us the dream.
Okay, well, it's a little embarrassing.
Oh, good.
Put that out there. It's a little embarrassing. Okay, in my dream, I'm down south, which is where I'm from, and I'm in my parents' house. And things need done. The garden needs, you know, turning over. The yard needs mowing. Things need done. And there's a car there that's mine, little blue Ford Escort, and I want to go and visit my friend before I go to work. But I can't because my brother's borrowed the car without asking me. And I'm getting angry at everyone because nothing's getting done. And now I can't drive my own car to go to work and go to visit my friend. And so my father starts getting very violent. And he finds my son, who's sleeping in another room, and he grabs him up, and he rushes him through a door, and I'm standing in a bathroom. I'm in a bathroom. And he knocks down the door, and, you know, this part's very violent. And then I say, well, I'm going to have to get out of here, and I want to go and see my friend visit before I go to work. Now I'm leaving. And all of a sudden, my husband pops up, and he's showing me that he's bought another house. And I start feeling angry and hurt. And he takes me to this house, and he opens up the house, and it's an old house. And it's He paid $110,000 for it, and it's on the water, and the water is rocky, and it's sitting on the rocks, and the water is actually hitting on the house. And it's an old house, something that he would never, ever buy. And he takes me out front, and there's a wishing well and the side entrance, and I go in the side, and once again, I go in the bathroom, and I'm looking for the toilet. And he opens up the wall, but the wall is not a wall, it's a curtain, and he opens up the curtain while I'm still in the bathroom, and I can see the whole house. It's a very nice house. And all of a sudden, another girl shows up, a real estate lady, and she's showing, because he's just bought the house, so I guess the real estate lady shows up. So now I turn around, and he shows me the wishing well and all that. And I turn around, I'm flushing the toilet now, flushing the waste from the toilet. And we go outside, and he's going to start to kiss me, but he doesn't kiss me, and he puts his hands on my face, and he starts choking me a little bit. And I say, you won't do that. This will be the last dream I dream of you. And I run to my car, and I get my car in the parking lot, and I start to drive away, and the emergency brake is on. And I take the brake off, and I drive away, and I keep driving away. And the signs, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know the signs, but I'm watching them. I say, well, I'll just turn around a couple of times, and I'll make my way out. And then the car turns into a bike, and I'm running down these streets, and the path turns in. I go through people's houses. And as I'm going through these houses on this bike, I'm thinking that I really did learn a lot from my husband, and I thanked him. But this will be the last dream I dream of you. And that was my dream.
And that was the dream. Wow, fantastic recall there, Bonnie. Lots of detail. Well done. the car you had at the end, was that also the blue car that you had earlier in the dream?
I think actually the color might have turned to a white car.
Oh, good. And that blue...
Yeah, in the beginning it was a blue Ford Escort. I don't know why, I've never had one.
Ah, that was what I was going to ask you. Okay. So if you think of a blue Ford Escort, what kind of personality would you say that car has?
My sister-in-law had one.
And what's her personality?
controlling, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, because there's quite a few issues during the dream. I mean, you notice that apart from you, all the characters in the dream are male, and they're all males related to you, your dad, your brother, your husband.
Friend, yes, all males.
They're all males, yeah. So they represent the male side of you, and we'll come into that in a minute, but they're all males, and they're all, in a sense, quite controlling in the dream as well. They're all quite controlling in the dream, the men. Well, maybe I'll come into it and explain how that is as we go. I'm just laughing because you said the house was sold for $110,000. And I've just sitting facing, I'm actually recording this from a kitchen, and I just looked up at the microwave oven, and it just went from 11:10 in the morning to 11:11. And I thought, oh, yes, I must remember to ask about that. That's the price that the house sold for in the dream. So it's now 11:11 here, and I have to ask you about this. It's nice when the microwave joins in. Well, sometimes with a number in a dream, you take the zero off, because a zero is often in a dream just to emphasize the number. So 110 minus a zero is 11. So we may be looking at something that came up for you 11 years ago, or 11 months ago, or 11 weeks ago. But what is there something specific that happened 11 years ago that's right in your mind now?
Well, I think that's when my marriage started falling apart.
Yeah, I thought it might be something like that. Because if you look at just as you probably know by listening to a few of my interpretations by now, I never start at the beginning of the dream and go to the end. I kind of jump somewhere in the middle. And in the middle of your dream, Bonnie, your husband bought a house for you for $110,000. And it was an old house. And
he bought it for himself. not for me.
Ah, bought it for himself. Well, that's even more so, yeah. And the house, you weren't sure about it. It was old, and it was also kind of on the rocks, I think you said.
Right.
with water
bashing
up. Mm. So a number in a dream can refer to the number of years that something's been in your life. So you say that house in the dream may represent something that's been in your life for 11 years, which is the amount of time that you feel that your relationship may have been breaking up. And your dream pictured that as something that is on the rocks, with a lot of water around, and water tends to represent our emotions and our dreams. So the feeling there is that, right, just plugging into the middle of the dream is whether or not your relationship is on the rocks is another issue. But in your dream state, you feel, oh, look, I feel that my relationship of 11 years is kind of on the rocks. And so it's quite likely, and I feel that the rest of the dream is exploring why you feel this way, and it's got a lot of clues in it. And I like the way that he bought an old house. And at the beginning of the dream, you go back to a childhood home. So it's almost like buying into something old, or buying into old beliefs here. So although your dad is going to represent in this dream some old childhood beliefs, and although your husband is going to represent some beliefs about your marriage and your relationship, by the same token, all these people in your dreams represent you, aspects of yourself. Because, you know, as a child, you, like every single one of us walking this planet, were influenced by our parents, our guardians, whoever brought us up. And so we took on beliefs from our guardians or our parents and made those part of our life. And then as we grow older and hopefully wiser, we decide to hang on to some of those beliefs, and we decide to let other beliefs go. And we begin to see how our life can be patterned by the beliefs that we've got from our upbringing. So as soon as you have people like your dad in the dream, particularly when you're going back to an old childhood home, what you're doing in this dream is going back to visit beliefs that you got from your dad that have been still affecting your decisions in life now. Okay. Now in the dream, the vehicle that came up for you was the blue car that you associate with your sister-in-law, who you describe as controlling. So therefore, going back to your childhood, there's an issue where something about the way that you were brought up was, you were brought up probably with very tight, strict control by your dad. Was your dad a very controlling person?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So being brought up by a very controlling person, there's one of two ways as children we normally go. One is to say, I don't ever, ever want to be like that, and to kind of give up not only any aspect of being controlling, but to almost give away a lot of our power in situations and just sort of stand back and say, you know, there is no one is ever going to accuse me of being controlling. I'm just going to just be really easy and laid back and not even say what I want from time to time. That's one way to go. And that's probably the way that you've gone sometimes under stress. Yeah. And the other reaction can be that we can become very like our parents. We can think, okay, controlling's the way to be. I'm going to be like that now. So you're one of those, but I'd say from your dream, in the way that you just want to make a break for it, you've really had enough, and there's a lot of anger expressed by different people in your dream, and you are ready, as you say, to go your own way, to kind of break loose. You know, this is a time when you're looking at the way you were brought up and thinking, well, perhaps I've been brought up to actually give away a lot of my power for this, because I had a very controlling father. And now, damn it, right, I want to get some of that power back. I don't ever want to be like a controlling person, but I want to get enough back to decide where I'm going and what I'm doing without other people telling me what to do. Does this make sense so far?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay,
it's
that's
a little scary.
It is scary. What's particularly scary is that, you know, I mean, we all have issues. We all have things that we've taken on from our parents that are not so good. Fortunately, we also have good things we've taken on from them. And the scary thing is always that when you first see it, you think, oh my God, you know, how did I spend all those years that way, you know. But your dreaming mind is processing the last day or two of what's been happening for you. And it is really, you know, the power of looking into a dream is that you can see how your mind works, what your beliefs are, how you process your life, and therefore how you respond to your life and the kind of results that you're getting from your life. So it's such a unique and incredible opportunity to see how your mind works and therefore say, look, if I can relate to this dream and I'm not getting the kind of life that I want in some aspect, maybe it's because of the way that my mind is programmed, and therefore I'd quite like to change that. And that's really where we're going with this dream. So jumping a little bit all over the place, the thing about having a father like that, you know, and he was controlling because of the way that he was brought up, and, you know, and the grandfather was maybe controlling because of the way he was brought up. You know, there's a long chain. It just goes on and on and on. And everybody has their reasons for living the way that you do. But you have kind of got to the point of a wake up, you know, and say, no, no, no more. But what we tend to do, of course, is we tend to choose, quite often choose partners in our life who are either exactly like our dads in this case, or so not like our dads in order to avoid having another dad. But either way, we tend to therefore pick partners that are going to get under our skin for the same issue, you know. So if your husband is also a controlling person, you'll be giving away your power, feeling, you know, I'm not really doing what I want to do. And if on the other hand, you married a husband who was so not like your dad, you'll be feeling, well, come on, and somebody needs to make a decision around here. Either way, you're kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about the going to the bathroom? I'm constantly all dreaming, urinating in public or,
you know, classic dreams. Okay, I think you actually said it. When you listen back to the podcast, you'll hear at one point you said something about in the second bathroom you went to in the house, you said something about getting rid of all this crap or something like that. I can't quite remember. Listen to the words that you said. But in waking life, when we go to the bathroom, we go in order to release stuff that we don't want from our body anymore. Thank you. We may be releasing crap. We may be releasing toxins in the urine, you know, but we're releasing stuff that we've taken in, we've eaten, we've got what we want from it, and we have to get rid of that stuff before it poisons our body. So it's kind of a let go. It's a release. And our dreaming brains take on the symbol because it's a really good symbol. We do it many times during the day. And they take on the symbol of when you go to the bathroom in a dream, it's you're trying to let go of emotional stuff, usually if it's urinating. But of course, because your bathrooms are always in very public places, the feeling is like, there's emotions I want to process, but how come I never really feel that I'm in my private space? No matter, you know, I always seem to be open to public. I can't get a bit of peace and privacy to myself. There always seem to be other people around when I lose it or whatever. I can't express to people how I really feel because the situation's never quite right. The bathroom's never quite right. And in the first, you visited the bathroom twice, or you tried to twice in your dream, Bonnie. And the first time your dad came in there
twice.
He was really angry and he was violent, wasn't he? Yeah. Now, although your dad probably was angry and violent in waking life, what this did in you as a child, you would have felt every time he was angry, you would have been angry, but you would have been trained not to show your anger. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you would have held on to anger as a child, but because you weren't allowed to show it, you had to bury it. And it will never go until you let it go in an appropriate way that doesn't hurt anybody else. It's stuck down there. And that's kind of like going to the bathroom. It's like, I've got, amongst other things, I've got this anger that is poisonous to my body. And hey, you're not alone. There'll be so many people listening to this can relate to this, Bonnie, you know, that I, particularly women, that I just can't let it go because I'm always in public. So in other words, whenever you're angry, you feel, I can't express this because I'm in public. I can't let anybody know that I'm angry. And yet by the same token, I can't find the right kind of private space to say to myself, yes, I am. I'm angry. I really, really feel you're angry, why you're angry, and therefore let it go and see what's underneath the anger. What made me angry? Oh, look, it was because my dad didn't let me think for myself, make decisions for myself, whatever it was. Mm. And that's what we want to get to. It's not the anger that we really want to explore so much. It's what's underneath that, because that feeling, my dad didn't let me feel comfortable about making my own decisions. That is the thing that you keep wanting to let go of in all these dream bathrooms, but never manage to quite do it. So, and when your dad, I'm glad you're laughing, because every laugh is a bit of release as well, you know. In that part of the dream, Bonnie.
Absolutely.
In that dream when your dad was angry, did you say it was your son that he brought into the bathroom with him?
Yeah, he picked up my son and pushed him through the door. And, yeah.
In the dream, how old was your son in the dream, the age that he is now, or was he a different age?
No, he's the age he is now.
The age he is now, okay. Quite often your children... 21. Quite often your children will also represent parts of yourself, and your son will often represent how you are in the world, you know, because he's like, there's your male side and your female side. And your female side tends to be your inner world, and your male side tends to be your outer world. So because also there's all the males in your dream, Bonnie, they represent the way that you're trying to, the way that you present yourself in the world out there, the way that you present yourself to the public in the world of work, whatever, and all the various conflicts you've got about this. So in the dream, your father was also, he was pushing around your son. The anger and the violence was also enacted on your son. So what this suggests is that the way that you work in the world, you're still feeling pushed around by the after effects of having that anger still left within you and that controlling. So what I'm getting from that is the kind of decisions you make in your waking, in your world, in your work, in your place out there, the kind of decisions you make out there are still not the kind of decisions that you would really make if you were really standing on your own two feet and making powerful decisions for yourself. Because that's what's happening to your son in the bathroom. He's kind of getting pushed around. So there's a part of yourself that's getting pushed around. Mm-hmm. No matter how successful and wonderful you are, and I get the feeling you are, you can be so much more once you begin to release that anger, release what's underneath it, and make fully empowered decisions for yourself about where you're going in your life. But there's a part of you as frightened, because early in that dream, like you made a break for it. You got in that blue car and you went, right, that's it. I'm off now. I'm going. But that car, although it gave you that sense of this is it, I'm going, that car didn't get you where you wanted to go, did it, in the dream?
No, and
the reason is because that car represents to you control, like your sister-in-law, like your dad. So there's a part of you that goes, look, I really do want to break free, but, and then your brain goes into a loop and goes, but if I'm going to make strong decisions and do what I want to do in my life, that must mean I'm like my dad or like my sister-in-law, and I don't want to be like that. That's going to get me nowhere. So the thing is to find a way to get out there and make powerful decisions for yourself that don't leave you feeling like, oh God, I'm just like my dad here. You know, how to be in your mind, you think I can only make a powerful decision by being controlling. And that's so not true. We're going to break that. We're going to find a way. And the clues are in your dream to make you good about making powerful decisions, but not in a controlling way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
Oh, good. That's great. And your dream gave us a lovely clue there with the old house for $110,000, because it really put the most recent issue on the spot. This is this issue that stretches back to my dad and the anger and not feeling powerful enough to make my own decisions. All of these things have really recently come to a head in what's been in my life for 11 years, which is this issue of feeling that my relationship is on the rocks. So you may be feeling, whether or not it is on the rocks, you feel it's on the rocks because you've come to a point in the relationship where you want to be powerful, but not in a controlling way, and you're feeling stuck.
Yeah.
And I love the way that by the end of the dream, you're actually in a transformed car because it's a white car. A white has all the colors of the rainbow in it. White's a very spiritual color. And although I don't think you quite got where you were going at the end, there was a more of a sense of freedom at the end of your dream, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was. I'm going somewhere. I don't know how to get there, but I can read the signs, and I might have to turn around a couple of times, but I'm going to keep going.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so let's translate that. Somewhere in your life in the last couple of days, because that led up to the dream, you've got to a point where you are so, so ready to do this in your own way, to do this, make your powerful decisions, but not in a controlling way. So we've got some white, some transformation. And the key point is there, and this is something your dad would never, ever do, and possibly your husband would never, ever do. The key point is you're going to go with the flow in this white car. It's like, I'm going to read the signs. I don't know where I'm going. So think this is about making decisions in your life now. Okay. I don't know where I'm going, but I feel okay with that. I'm going to read the signs and hey, maybe I'm going to do a couple of turnarounds. And maybe I don't care if people say she's going back on what she'd said there. That's the turnarounds. I don't care about that. Maybe I'll make a couple of turnarounds, but I'm going to read the signs and I'm going to get where I want to go. Now, your dad, being more of a controlling person, would probably never even set out on a trip from the house to the corner shop without making a military plan of it. You know, a controlling person usually... is that correct? A controlling person is so... they're usually so scared they have to have everything tightly controlled. Like they would never set out on something and say, look, I'll just see how it goes. I'll read the signs. Just not in their book at all. And so this is also...
Yeah, my husband's too. He has to have everything written down. He has to... Right.
Yeah. And your dream has got to the point of saying, you know, up until now, with your dad and your husband, you've probably gone along with that and thought, well, look, I can't really have as big a say as I want to have because I'm a sweet and kind person. I'm going to go with the flow and it's my husband's flow. So, yeah, okay, there is no going with the flow. We've got to go with a big plan. Whereas there's a part of yourself going, no, look, I've had enough of that. I know we're going fantastic places with this plan, but I feel we're going to go to better places for me, for Bonnie, on all levels, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, if I read the signs, go with the flow, forget the military planning. So it's not to say, I mean, you can still do this. You can do this with or without your husband. You know, the relationship being on the rocks is maybe not, you know, you setting out and deciding I want to make some powerful decisions for myself does not necessarily mean that the relationship has to end. You know, you can heal if you wish, you can, and if there's a way, you can heal that relationship if your husband suddenly gets to understand that it's important for you to make decisions in a different way or important for you to make some decisions about some aspects of your life that may be different from where he's going. And he may indeed learn something amazing from you and want to hitch a lift with you. Or it may be that you feel that that is just never going to happen and that the relationship has come to a parting of ways. But there's nothing in the dream or in any dream that ever says, okay, this relationship's over, or okay, this relationship needs healing. Those decisions are always for you. You know, what the dream does is show you where you're at and lay everything on the line, and then you see how things can go from there. And what you probably find, Bonnie, is as you, and I'm going to help you to do this, but as you begin to feel more comfortable about driving the white car, that means reading the signs, maybe doing a couple of back turns, that's okay, going the way you want, not caring who sees you pee in public, so to speak, not caring who sees the real Bonnie. Your husband may actually be, you may have quite a surprising response from him. He may go, oh, right, okay, that's really interesting. You can never predict these things, you know. When you begin to act more to your true self, a partner that had seemed to be quite contrary can sometimes come round. So don't discount that happening. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, of course, it can be the last straw for the partner. So, you know, you kind of have to make those decisions.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, the overall feeling is that you've gone way, way back to, you know, and after this podcast, spend some time contemplating the past, not enough time to get bogged down in it, not enough time to get distressed, not enough time to think, oh, you know, woe is me, I'm a victim of my childhood, because we're all victims of our childhood at different levels. But just long enough to go back to understand and go, oh, yeah, okay, that explains a lot. So I took on this belief from my dad that, you know, I should sort of sit back and let other people make decisions, or that people wouldn't like me if I said, no, look, I'm angry about that. Or people wouldn't like me if I said, no, that's not what I want to do. Actually, I've got a better plan. Or people wouldn't like me if they said, you know, if I said, I want to do it my way. And just to go back and say, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, after all these years, and this is after all my life, I'm going to do things differently now. So what we do in a dream and in contemplating a dream is go back just long enough to see the light so that we can then move forward. So because there were all the males in your dream and not another single female, I'd say that within yourself, all is hunky-dory and lovely. You know, you have a good feeling for your spiritual path. You have a good feeling for your emotions. These are all the inner female. You're probably extremely creative. That's your female side. You know, your female side is everything right brain and everything in your inner world. And you probably got that really just spot on. And what you're trying to do is get all these males under, you know, get that sorted out. So it's bringing everything that's female inside you into the outer world in your way powerfully, without feeling that you're controlling. So it's getting out there. You've got a contribution to make to the world, and you can make that in a powerful way, which doesn't mean a controlling way. And I love the way too, at the end there, you start before you got the white car, it started off as a bike, didn't it?
The car turned into a bike.
Oh, the car turned into a bike. That's right. And you felt best on the bike?
And I what?
Did you prefer the bike to the car?
The car turns into a bike, and I'm riding through all these roads and the paths, and they turn into people's houses, and I'm riding the bike through people's houses, and I'm thanking them as I'm going through.
Oh, yes.
And then I realized that my husband had taught me, he had taught me a lot, and I thanked him.
That's
and
it.
Then I said, this will be the last dream I dream of you.
That's right. Oh, perfect. Okay. So a car, it's great because you were driving, you were in the driver's seat, and I think early on in the blue car, there was an issue about who was driving or something. But in this car, you're actually driving. You're in control, but you can take passengers. And what you come right down to is a bike. There's only one person can cycle a bike, and that's you. So there's a real feeling there. And you've got the freedom. You've got the air rushing past you. And you can do things like cycle through people's homes, which if you did it in a car, you'd probably knock the houses down. So there's a real feeling here of like, this is just me, guys. You know, I'm solo. I'm on the bike. I've got freedom like you can't imagine. And I can, on my own, I can maneuver. I can get places that I can't get when there's a whole big car to consider. So this is really about adaptability and maneuverability. And each house that you go through, houses can represent different beliefs and different minds, because these are other people's houses. These are other people's structures. These are the ways that other people live. So each house that you go through, you're seeing the different beliefs and structures of people that you have known throughout your life, and how they may have contributed to who you are and who you think, for good or for bad, including your husband. And as you quite rightly and so stunningly well do in your dream, you take the spiritual path, which is thanking them. Thank you for everything you've taught me. Thank you for everything you taught me. That was a lovely thing you gave me. Thank you for talking to me. That thing there, I didn't enjoy that at the time, but now I can thank you for what you've taught me. So you've got this wonderful feeling at the end of the dream, which is I'm now at the point in my spiritual path of being able to thank, for good or for bad, everything that's happened, all these beliefs that have come to me, and in a sense, liberate myself to keep on going. And this is the last dream I'll have about you, I would imagine, would be because you and I arranged to do this podcast a few days ago. So it would have been very clear on your mind that you'd be speaking to me today, and you very probably spent the last few days going over some issues, thinking about your life and thinking, oh, you know, I hope maybe this or that's going to be addressed in my dream. And because it was on your mind of the last 2 days, your dreaming brain came up with, yes, we're going to put everything in this dream that needs to be sorted out because you're going to be doing talking to Jane Teresa. And so some part of your dream is going, yeah, this is the last dream I'm going to have about this because this is going to get sorted. So in a way, you didn't need to talk to me. You did all the magic yourself before we even called you this morning.
Yeah, I had kind of thought about it and kind of had a gist of what it was saying, but you do such a splendid job of interpreting it. It's just, you're incredible.
Many, many years of experience and loving my job. So thank you, Bonnie. What I'd really like to do now is move on and give you, I mean, there were lots of other things in your dream that we could really pull out and look at. And then if we were doing a really deep interpretation, we'd go into all of those as well. We've been pretty deep. But what I'd like to do now is give you a dream alchemy practice. So this, of course, you'll be familiar with by now is, you know, step one is interpret the dream and understand it. And step two is do some exercises called a dream alchemy practice, which really helps accelerate the good stuff that comes out of the dream. And what I'd like to pick from your dream, because your dream had such a positive uplifting ending, you know, you actually did the transformation in your dream because you've got that white on the bike, maneuverability, thanking everyone for what they've taught you and moving on your own in a powerful way, with or without relationship, but, you know, in your own sense, moving on in your own way within yourself. I'd really like to take that feeling that you had on the white on the bike at the end and spin that into a dream alchemy practice, because you were comfortable on that bike at the end of the dream, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'd like to envisage is, are you good at visualizations? Are you good at closing your eyes and getting a mental picture?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great. So what I'd like to do for your dream alchemy practice then is a visualization. And I'd like you to imagine that we're going to start yours at the end of the dream, and you're on that beautiful bike and you're cycling away from the last house that you've been through. And you just create in your mind's eye a beautiful environment. So whatever kind of environment you like, whether that's mountains, whether that's waterfalls, whether that's desert, whatever to you is the kind of environment that you feel at peace and yet powerful in. You know, the kind of environment that you feel, yeah, this is me, this is Bonnie. So to picture that kind of environment and feel yourself riding the bike, make it the absolute perfect ideal weather. Not only visualize, you know, you're on the bike, so visualize, look down, see the bike, look around, see the scenery, but make it a full sense around. So actually feel the sense of the wind on your face, feel what it's like riding the bike. And more importantly, feel that sense of extreme gratitude for everything that everyone's taught you. Not in a sense of, oh, you know, I owe you guys so much. We're not going to go down that track because you owe no one nothing.
Right.
Okay. This is, I am so thankful for this incredible life I've had. And now I'm going forward to be the very best that I can be. And all that is in the past now, because I have such a mountain of fantastic stuff. So as you visualize yourself riding the bike, get all that, all those emotions that you want to feel as the more empowered, liberated Bonnie goes forward, and bring those up in your visualization. Mm-hmm. Now that's all the visualization is, just riding the bike and feeling free and thankful and envisaging the future. But if you do want to pop something else in there, this is up to you. If you have a particular goal in mind that you can think of, and it might be that you might want to heal the relationship, it might be a house that you want to live in, it might be a particular something that you want to achieve in your career. But if you've got a personal symbol for that, pop that in your visualization and see and feel yourself riding that bike towards it, and actually know that you are going to get it, even arrive at it and pick up the symbol and go, gotcha. Okay?
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
All right. So what you do is in the first month, you go through that visualization about 20 or 30 times a day. Now, the first time you do it will take you probably ages, but you'll be surprised, you know, to really fine tune those emotions and feelings. But the more you do it, you'll feel you actually get faster and faster at it. So 20 to 30 times a day for a month, and then twice a day, once in the morning and once at night for a few weeks after that, and stand by and watch magic happen. Now, Bonnie, most of that magic will be good. You'll see yourself, you'll catch yourself doing and saying things that you've never done and said before, and you'll think, oh, God, I actually did that or I said that. And there'll be good things, you know. You'll know not to express your anger to someone else. You'll know if there's anger to go, that you'll go somewhere quiet and do it, you know. But you'll just find yourself being more empowered and more, and feeling more confident about the decisions that you make, and feeling more confident about reading the signs and going without a military plan. And you'll notice all those things, and you'll just notice that there's something different about the way you're doing. You go, oh, I wish, you know, I wonder why it was never that easy. There may be some repercussions along the way. Who knows? The relationship may or may not be a repercussion. Some aspect of your working life may be a repercussion. You know, you may, in order to achieve the goal that you want at your work, you may have to let go of an older goal, for example. That's part and parcel of change. And as I say to anybody that's a guest on my show, and I'm saying to you, Bonnie, and I'm saying to any guests that are listening in, you know, if you're doing a visualization that you've got from me as a guest on the show, you know, please contact me later if you have any difficulty with it or any further questions, because, you know, if you were seeing me privately as a client, we'd be going through that process and I'd be holding your hand to make sure that, you know, you come out the other side in the way that, you know, in the way that you feel comfortable with. And it will happen, but I'm just making sure that you know to contact me privately, Bonnie, if you just want to, you know, tweak that or ask more questions about it. So there you go.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any more questions before we let you go to ride that bike?
No, I hope I stop having these urination dreams, though. They're getting annoying.
Okay, one thing that might happen, you may have them from time to time, but they will definitely start to stop, if you know what I mean. Anytime you do have them in the future, go back and say, okay, the dream applies to the last day or two. Which particular emotional issue in my life have I been holding on to, not letting go? How can I go and get a bit of peace and quiet and just sort through this in my mind, release it, you know, and listen to that sign in the dream? But generally, they will stop. What you may do is you may have the following fantastic dream. You dream, you go to the bathroom, you go, oh, no, not again. I thought I had enough of this dream, but it will either be the perfect bathroom, you know, the doors lock, no one's looking in, and you actually urinate in your dream, and it feels really good, and it may even go on for a long, long, long time. And you don't wet the bed. You do not wet the bed. It does not happen that way. And you usually then go on from the dream, and in the same dream, do something quite freeing and empowering. And the other variation is you might come to a very public place. You might not even bother with finding a toilet. You might come to a lovely open field and go, look, people. Oh, actually, I need to go for a pee. Hang on a minute. And you continue to talk to them while urinating in the dream. And what that means is that you've reached a point and your dreaming brain is processing it where you actually feel comfortable with talking about your emotions in front of other people, or, you know, being yourself. Allowing people to see, you know, the real you. So be prepared that that kind of dream may come up, and that's actually a positive sign. But on the whole, you'll find less time.
That's a positive sign. If you pee in front of people on a sidewalk, that's a positive dream.
If you feel good about it. If you don't feel good about it, it's not. It's like, oh, I keep being in these situations where I feel like I'm, you know, letting my emotional self show in front of these people, and I don't like it. Then that's an issue to address, you know, such as we've discussed. Whereas if you're doing it and you're feeling, hey, this is good, or, you know, well, that's the way life is, you know, be guided by the emotion in the dream. Okay.
Okay.
You'll have helped many,
okay,
many
gotcha.
People. Yeah. And you'll have helped many, 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 many people listening in who'll know how to handle that dream now.
Excellent. It's important. I'm tired of it.
I know you're tired of it. And I know at your side of the world, it's you're coming up to bedtime. So I think you're going to have some really interesting dreams tonight.
Yes, I think I will.
Look, thank you so much for sharing your dream. It's been fantastic. And, we get so many people listen and sometimes just email me privately and say, I got so much from such and such a caller such and such a guest. So, know that you're not only doing yourself a lot of good, you're doing a lot of other people a lot of good by appearing on this show. So I really, really thank you. I ride through your house and I thank you.
Oh, well, I thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Sleep well. As usual, lots to learn there from somebody else's dream. And I'm sure everybody listening in has not only picked up some dream interpretation tips, but also, got some good contemplation material going there. There's so much we can learn from other people. And I'm sure for many people listening in, there would have been a lot of resonance with stuff going on in your own life and your own upbringing that you can relate to there. So thanks everyone for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. And as usual, there's lots more information. You can go to my website at www.dream.net.au. You can check out my blog, which I think I blog, two or three times a week. That's on www.janetheresa.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. Or if you want to be a little bit more interactive than that, find me on Facebook. So there you go. Another podcast, another happy customer, another happy dreamer. And I hope you're all happy too. See you next Friday. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.